From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 7th day of February 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlow. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And Eric Snodgrass from Conduit Ag will join us to take a look at the weather forecast. I'll remind you to visit our website at willag.org, where you can purchase your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. That's just a bit less than a month away, and we'll want to keep you on hand for the whole hour if we can today for all of our Commodity Week program. If not, it's online right now at willag.org too.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Corn for the day settled at $4.87.5, 7¾ lower. The May at $5.5, down 7, and December $4.66, the new crop down 3¾ cents. Soybeans in the March at $10.49.5, 11 lower. May futures at $10.65.5, down 10¼, and November soybeans $10.57.5, down 8½ cents. March bean meal at $301.40, down $5. The bean oil at $45.98, 58 cents higher. Soft red winter wheat down a nickel at $5.82¾. The hard red at $6.04¼, down 3¼. Both of those are in the March contract. Live cattle unchanged. Feeder cattle down 40 cents and lean hogs up 40 cents for the day. Crude oil 34 cents a barrel higher. Diesel fuel up 3¾ cents. And wholesale price of gasoline at $2.10¾ cents, up 2¼ cents at this hour. The Dow Jones Industrial Average 439 points lower for the day. Mike Zuzlow now joins us from GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me, Todd.
It's another interesting Friday. I did not leave the news up. Apparently, the president is talking about tariffs again.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of weird because even without that new news hitting mid-late session on Friday, it just didn't feel like a very good week, even though we saw fresh 2025 highs in soft red wheat Friday morning in the overnight Globex trade. We saw the 2025 highs, brand new ones Thursday in soybeans lead month. And then that followed the midweek highs of in corn that took us, what I think, up to the highest levels in another 15-16 month time period. But we closed the week kind of on a sour note. And the spreads were much weaker this week, the July Dease corn spread, the July Nove bean spread especially. Those spreads kind of gave up this week, and I noticed that in the middle part of the week. And so I'm going to put two and two together and suggest to you, Todd, that this week was about, did we get anything made in terms of headway with China on the tariffs? And because the phone call between the two presidents did not go through on Tuesday, that took kind of the bullishness out of the demand side of the equation. And I heard a lot more talk in the trade and colleagues sending me emails about how the South American weather was not nearly as dire at the end of the week. And that, I think, helps explain why those spreads gave up and why the corn and the beans specifically had a more difficult second half of the week. But thankfully, the wheat held in there very nicely. And we are going to close up about 30 cents on the soft red wheat. We're going to take out the 52-week moving average on the weekly chart for the first time since mid-October of last year. And we've got quite a bit of weather in the United States and quite a bit of weather in the Black Sea region to have to deal with when we come back from the weekend and in the Super Bowl.
No, so I happened to open up the soft red winter wheat. Didn't happen to. I purposely opened up the soft red winter wheat chart so that I could take a look at it on the weekly nearby. So I was looking at the lead option, wondering where we were. Interesting chart, especially over time. So we have the 2021 highs at the beginning of the war in Ukraine, and then you have another high back in 08, a really big high, about the same level. And right now we're down on the lower end of this. I would say we're at the top end of the bottom part of the longer range between those, that 08 and 2021-2 time frame. Where do you think we are, and what does this mean when you look forward? Is there there's a lot of headroom over the top of it, not so much to the bottom, but when you're on the bottom end of the trade, that's a different function. Can you tell me where you think we are?
Yeah, I think that we're going to have a tough time getting much more than 40 or 50 cents higher. I've kind of put 650 in my sights, 640, 650 in my sights for new crop wheat on the soft red basis. And that's mainly because of the copper in the outside markets. And we still have kind of a sick deflationary Chinese market. And I just can't get too excited about a commodity demand-led market with what's happening with China and then the uncertainty in tariffs. I can tell you, though, copper and soft red wheat on a six-week correlation study, their prices in lead month futures have moved in a positive 80% price action on a six-week basis. And copper helped wheat out a lot. The Russian ruble helped wheat out a lot this past week. Copper's actually at the highest level since July of last year, mid-July of last year. So I'll look at copper, I'll look at crude, I'll look at the ruble like we've talked about in the past, and just keep watching those for the main reasons why we would keep going higher other than supply demand. And obviously weather plays a role. Nebraska clients are already telling me that 20, 30 days from now, if temperatures warm up, they'll probably look hard at ripping wheat up. And that may even happen as you go farther south into Kansas, Oklahoma, depending on what the weather pattern is this next 20, 30 days, because we may have had some winter kill that's pretty substantial that the trade is kind of glossing over, but maybe respects a little bit more than it did 2 weeks ago. So I'd still say wheat's our leader to the upside based upon the outside markets.
Do those become corn acres?
I think they'll become corn unless the fertilizer prices spike because of tariffs, and then I think they'll become bean acres.
Okay, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. Wheat, not the leader in the marketplace?
No, I think wheat is the leader of the marketplace.
It is.
I think it is the upside potential leader based on those outside markets. Beans, I think they reaffirmed the downside potential in the close of the week. And Safras came out in the middle part, early part of the session Friday, went from 173.7 on soybeans for Brazil up to 174.9. That was a big increase. That would take you above most of the trade guesses that right before the WASDE report on Tuesday. So beans open up along with the meal, very weak meal price action, barely even on the week this week. So beans are back to the leader to the downside, unfortunately.
Speaking of WASDE, that's next week for the month of February, pretty much a stepping stone normally. Any big things that you expect to see come out of it?
I think we still have enough South American weather to make one more play to the upside, but we're going to need USDA's help on that. So I need lower numbers from USDA on those WASDE numbers. Otherwise, if I don't get a wheat corn led rally after that, those reports, I'll really be eager to move fast on some more bean hedges.
Are we deep enough into the Argentine soybean season to do that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think this is where what you've lost. And it looks like about 60% of the ground that was really suffering got some big time relief and saved the crop. But I'd say 40%, it's kind of like 2012 down there right now. But remember, Argentina's 50, Brazil maybe is 175 if Safras is right. So a whole different situation in South America between beans and corn in those two countries.
What are you watching in corn at this time?
Big thing's the drought monitor. I mean, we've got Iowa 71%, Nebraska 87%, South Dakota 100% drought, Minnesota 68. Nobody's talking about it in the trade right now. Maybe it's too early, but that's the big thing to watch in the corn other than the wheat market.
Okay, so what are you telling producers? Because I know they have both old and new crop to market. Start with the old crop.
Yeah, I'll do puts on the both old crop corn and beans if I need to. Not cash, because I need to know a little bit more about where we're headed in the tariffs. More nervous about the future side of the equation in the short term, not the cash because of the tight stocks that we have here domestically. New crop, start with beans, maybe wait for another 25, 40 cents in the new crop corn. Again, that's predicated on what the wheat does.
A week ago, USDA put the cattle inventory numbers out before you and I talked. You had a week to see them. What'd you think of them?
They did not feed the bull. The trade sees that. The funds are letting go of their positions right now. The only good thing to say about it at the end of this week is The feeder cattle index at the Mercantile Exchange is 277. The March feeders closed at 265. There's a huge discount in the futures for both fats and feeders right now. I'm hoping that maybe this winter storm coming across the plains wakes the market back up to that cash discount. Otherwise, those funds could keep liquidating.
Speaking of coming across the plains, I'm looking forward to having you come through the plains in Missouri, parts of Illinois, and ending up in Indiana on Tuesday, March the 4th for the All-Day Ag Outlook. Thank you for doing that for us, too.
It was a real loss to miss last year. I cannot wait to get over and see you and all the great people over there, Todd. I'm really looking forward to it.
Looking forward to having you. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's with GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, and will join us at the Beef House on Tuesday, March the 4th. We hope you will, too. Tickets are available now. Register at willag.org. Eric Snodgrass now joins us as usual on a Friday. He's with Conduit Ag and traveling through the great state of Indiana today. What were you up to this morning?
Yeah, I was at a place up in northern Indiana called Auburn. They have an incredible car museum here, but they actually got hit the last couple of days with some ice in this area. So it was kind of an interesting morning just to hang out here, and I'm blazing my way back to Muhammad.
Excellent. We'll see you here in a few hours. In the meantime, I'd like to talk about the weather conditions you're driving under. It's gotten cool again. What does this pattern entail, and has it changed anything?
Yes, it has changed a few things, and this is going to be really important to look at for the next, certainly for the next 10 days, but beyond that. But here's the big idea. We've reoriented the jet stream by changing the temperature pattern. So the cotton belt, of course, down south is averaging 20 plus degrees above normal for the next 10 days. They have a couple of shots of cold air, but most of it's going to be very, very mild. Whereas in the Canadian prairie, we're going to be seeing temperatures 20 degrees colder than normal for much of the next 10 days. So we're right in the middle. And as a result of that, we're caught up in this kind of corridor of extremely active weather. I've already counted five weather systems that should go across the United States from west to east over the next 10 days at least. They're going to culminate in the Northeast, where they should get some pretty thick snow. And unfortunately, Todd, with all that mild air to our south and access to cold air to our north, I think we could be under the gun for more risk of ice going into the, between now and Valentine's Day. But here's the thing. It's active. It's moving. It's changed over what we saw in January. And I needed to stay this way for a while so that I can undo some of these longer-term fears of drought developing at some point later on this growing season. I'd like to see very active finishes to winter, and certainly we're in.
So by for a while, you mean for the rest of the month, for 2 weeks, all the way through to the end of March? How long?
Well, I think the atmosphere is going to prefer to keep coming back to this. And what I mean is we're going to get into a stretch, 10 to 12 days, very active. Then it's going to back off. Okay, just like it normally does. But there are still good indications that it's going to fire back up again. And one of those indications is that for the first time, I mean, in a while, our polar vortex in the stratosphere is going to go into a full split. And when it gets disrupted like this, it tends to shake up the weather patterns for a while. So we will access some pretty significant shots of colder air. I don't think they're going to last, you know, for weeks, but a few days at least. And that is just going to help reinforce the same thing they got started, which is this whole idea of getting the jet stream to come at us more from the west than what it did for most of January, which was to come at us more from the north. Now, bigger picture is, can it last until we get towards spring? I think February is going to be a pretty wild ride, but can this last as we get into March and April and start to turn our hopes around for this risk of drought getting pushed in the other direction as we get into those spring months?
Well, give me your prognosis, spring and summer.
So the first thing is this. The newest weather forecast runs from the European model released on the 5th. And they confirmed what we were concerned about. La Nina is at its peak. It's going to fade. But what we're really going to have to pay attention to is the full momentum of the atmosphere and where there is drought now. So it's still drought under this frozen soil across the Midwest, upper Midwest, where falls drought lingers. We still have dry conditions in the southwest United States. And the biggest problem with all of this is that the model is suggesting a tight spring for us in terms of precipitation, likely being wet. And then watching drought come through the plains toward the Mississippi River by the time they get into summer. And the question is, does it top that river and get to us by those critical months in July and August? Which means, Todd, we still have risk on the table for this upcoming summer on adverse weather conditions, preventing us from getting those high yields once again. And I think, honestly, the world's watching carefully to see if that's going to be the case.
Is the river or the valley there really a barrier?
Well, it's just funny that you ask that, because when you look at the geography that made the Mississippi River, yeah, there's a large topographical effect that puts it in this particular place. And on top of that, the further west you go from that location, you get yourself farther and farther from the direct access of the Gulf of Mexico. And then lastly, if you go from west east across the Corn Belt, you also measure an entirely different spectrum of soil types in terms of their ability to hold water. So yes, there's a million things that change across that river basin. And it all has to do with the shape of the Rocky Mountains, the depth of that river basin, and then the Appalachian Mountains on the eastern side. So, yep, topography plays a role.
Yeah, so we're at the lower levels, and then altitude goes up in both directions.
That's right.
All right, thank you much. Anything else before I let you go?
Just understand that we are going to go a little drier in Brazil, which means they're going to be able to harvest more quickly. Better rains are forecast at parts of Argentina, which will put a Band-Aid on some of the drought issues down there. I still don't have a bullish story coming out of Brazil.
Eric Snodgrass is with Conduit Ag. Joined us here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand. Anytime you'd like to listen at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find our daily agricultural programming, including the opening market report, the midday report with Sue Martin, along with the closing market report to listen to on demand, our broadcast schedule throughout the day for our home station, and you'll find information from the Ag Economist, the Crop Scientist, and the Animal Scientist from the University of Illinois. Oh, as well as a way to register, and please do this now. Don't take more time. Don't wait. It's just $40 to register for the all-day Ag Outlook that'll take place at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on Tuesday, March the 4th. That's just a bit less than a month away. Now, you'll want to join us for the whole of the day. The Farm Doc team will be there. The brokers and analysts from willag.org will be along, and we'll have a fantastic day. It is an interactive day like none that you've spent at other conferences. If you've not been there before, we really do want to have you on hand. So get yourself registered today. It costs just $40, and that includes your Beef House cinnamon roll and coffee in the morning. By the way, they're not open for breakfast, so those cinnamon rolls aren't a normal thing, and man, are they good. You'll want to be there for that. And then, of course, a Beef House lunch. Can't beat it either. And all of the other activities through the day. The cost is just $40. Sign up right now. Get yourself registered at willag.org.